بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the topic of the beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed. And this is chapter number 9. باب قال المؤلف رحمه الله. The author رحمه الله said, باب chapter من تبرك بشجر أو حجر ونحوهما. Whoever seeks blessing from a tree, stone or any such thing. Blessing means abundant good and settlement of the good. And it is derived from al-birka. Birka is the place, is a pond for water, where water is gathered in this place. And this is distinct from the regular path of water, stream of water, where there is abundance and there is settlement. There is abundance and there is settlement. And therefore, at-tabarruk is seeking barakah. And seeking barakah is either by a legal known way, like the Quran. No, it's derived from birka. Bilkasr. It is derived from birka. Okay? Birka. When you say this birka, this is kasr, not fatha. This is kasra. You know that poet? Kasra. Okay. So it is either through seeking birka by a legal known way, like the Quran. قال الله تعالى about the Quran in Surah Sad, chapter 38. Verse 29. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun. And from the blessings of the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened hearts with it and benefited them by taking them away or out of shirk. And from the barakah of the Quran, and they are numerous, is that each letter is rewarded 10 rewards. And this saves time and energy for the person. Many, many other benefits from the Quran. But this is just to illustrate the point concerning the first means of seeking barakah. And this is through the tabarruk, by a legal known way, like the Quran. Second, by a known physical way, like teaching, like dua, and so forth. So we say it's a blessing that we have such and such scholar teaching the deen and calling for the way of Allah. This is barakah, because we receive good from him through that. You understand? Like the saying of Usayd bin Hudayr, مَا هَذِهِ بِأَوَّلِ بَرَكَتِكُمْ يَا آلَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. This is not the first kind of barakah from you or the family of Abu Bakr. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can put the good on the hands of some, but not on others. There are, on the other hand, barakat, fault blessings thought to be real while they are really false and delusions, like what is claimed by those liars who say that such and such dead person is a wali who is shedding his barakat, blessings upon you, and so forth. This is false barakah. It has no effect. And shaitan may have an influence in this matter, but it does not go beyond physical effects, such that the shaitan serves this so-called sheikh. And therefore, in that, there is fitna for people. We have to watch. In that, there would be fitna for people. Now, how to know? How one would know the true barakah from the false barakah? This is known by the status of affairs of the person, his condition. If he is a believing, following, a believer, following the Sunnah, and he is keeping himself away from innovation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may place on his hands certain blessings which may not occur for others. From that, for example, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed on the hands of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, from the blessing which benefited many people during his lifetime and afterwards. And people are still, in our times, benefiting and learning from the knowledge and the great teachings which he left after his death, rahimahullah ta'ala. However, on the other hand, if this person's attachment to the deen is on a way different from the way of the Salaf, the righteous predecessors, or in opposition to the book and the Sunnah, or he calls directly for falsehood, then his barakah is a delusion. And this so-called barakah may be placed by the shayateen to aid him on his batil, on his falsehood. And from that is what takes place to some of them while who stay, for example, in Arafah during the Hajj, and then then appears in his country to sacrifice the animals on the Eid with his people. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said the shayateen lifts them in order to deceive people regarding them and regarding their status. And in this case of the example we gave, he said they have done things in opposition to the deen when they did not complete the Hajj. So the shayateen help these people in order to spread the mischief of shirk amongst the Muslims. This is regarding the issue of barakah, blessings. So the author, rahimahullah, said, من تبرك بشجر أو حجر ونحوهما. Whoever seeks barakah through a tree. A tree here, this is a name of category. It therefore covers any tree. Any tree. Class. And it is from the good deeds of the leader of the believers, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he saw people coming to the tree under which the pledge of allegiance of al-Radwan took place, he ordered the tree to be cut. He ordered it to be cut. And then the author, rahimahullah, mentioned, after the tree, mentioned hajar. Hajar, stone. And this is again a category, and it covers all stones. Even the rock of the so-called dome in Bayt al-Maqdis in Al-Quds, Jerusalem. It is not to be sought for tabarruk. And similarly, the black stone in Mecca. It is not to be sought for tabarruk, for blessing. Rather, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by putting the hands on and going and kissing the stone in following the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and through this the barakah of reward is attained. That's why Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ حَجَرٌ لَا تَضُرُّ وَلَا تَنْفَعْ. I know that you are a stone, and لا تضر ولا تنفع, you neither cause harm nor you bring benefit. ولولا أني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبلك ما قبلتك. And were it not that I had seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, had it not been that I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم kissing you, I would not have done so. So kissing it is a pure worship, contrary to what's thought by the common Muslims, who think that this is a physical blessing. And that's why you see them, when they touch and wipe their hands on it, they wipe their bodies afterwards as a way of barakah, of taking barakah or blessing. And then the author, after he mentioned the tree and the trees and the stone, he said wanah wihima, and the like, from houses, from rocks, domes, stones, even the place where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is buried. It is not to be touched for barakah. Then the author, rahimahullah, cited the following verse or verses. Qawlullahi ta'ala, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى. Surah Al-Najm, from verse 19. Surah Al-Najm, beginning with verse 19. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى. Have you then considered اللات and الْعُزَّى, the verses, وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى, and منات, the other thing. What are these? These came in Surah Al-Najm after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about what Allah subhanahu, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw from the great signs of Allah. قال الله تعالى والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى until verse 18 when he said لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى verse 18 لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى indeed he did see of the greatest signs of his Lord so he saw some of the great signs. After this, then came verse 19. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى Have you then considered اللات وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى المَنَاء The other third. أَخْبِرُونِي مَا شَأْنُوا Tell me of their cases. Tell me of their status with respect to these great signs which the Prophet ﷺ had seen, meaning they are nothing. And this exclamation is for diminishing, for belittling. Have you then considered Allat? Allat. What is Allat? It is recited here in two ways in the Quran. اللات اللات بتشديد التاء وتخفيفها اللات and اللات When we say اللات this is the recitation of Ibn Abbas with this intensification on the تاء then it would be derived from اللت اللت and this was an idol the origin of which was a man يلت السويق للحجاج a man who used to mix the wheat or barley with dates and with some fat and then feed that to the pilgrims yalit to suwayq yalit this is known as yalit mixes the wheat and barley and dates with fat and then presented to the pilgrims so after he died people worshipped his grave and then took it as an idol. Now, with the second type of recitation, without intensification on the ta, allata, now, like pronunciation, then in this case it is derived from Allah or from Al-Ilah. So they derived from the names of Allah a name for this idol and called it Al-Lat. And this was for the people of At-Ta'if. And those around them from the Arabs. They took it as an idol. Wal-Uzza. Have you considered Al-Lat and Al-Uzza? And this was an idol worshipped by Quraysh and the tribe of Kanana. And it was derived from the name of Allah Al-Aziz, the Almighty. And this was in a date palm between Mecca and At-Ta'if. Have you then considered Al-Lat and Al-Uzza and Manat? It is said that Manat is derived from Al-Mannan, and it's also said that it is derived from Mina, because of too much blood spilled there because of the sacrifices. Yumna, yumna, because of the blood. Yumna, meaning shed. Shed, yes. The blood shed due to sacrifices in Mina. And that this idol was between Mecca. So this is, I said spelled, distilled, yes. This idol is between Mecca and Medina. And it belonged to Hudayl, the tribe of Hudayl, and Khuza'a, and also the Aus and Khazraj tribes used to magnify it. And they would enter the state of Ihram for Hajj from there. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-Lat, have you then considered Al-Lat and Al-Uzza and Manat? Then he said, Al-Thalithat Al-Ukhra, the other third. Indicating that this one which you magnify and you slaughter there, and where you spill a lot of blood there, is also another despicable one. So these idols are in no comparison with what the Prophet ﷺ had seen from the great signs. And Allah has mentioned these three in name because these were the three most magnified and known to the Arabs. Then he said, is it for you the males and for him the females? This is an exclamation of denial and denunciation against the mushriks, who consider the angels as daughters for Allah, and for them what they wish from the boys. So they used to be pleased when a son is born, and when a girl is born rather, on the other hand, their faces would turn black because of distress and anger. Allah responded by saying, تِلْكَ إِذَنْ قِسْمَةٌ ضِيزَةٌ 22 تِلْكَ إِذَنْ قِسْمَةٌ ضِيزَةٌ, that indeed is a division most unfair. Because at least if you want to have a fair division or sharing of division, then have some share. You also take a share from the girls for yourselves, and so leave for Allah some of the sons. Have a share in that. But for you to go and choose for yourselves the way you choose, and whatever you dislike, you leave it to Allah, then this is indeed a division most unfair. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءٌ سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. They are but names which you have named, you and your fathers, for which Allah has sent down no authority. So, Allat, Al-Uzza, Manat, which you called as gods, and you took it, put them as gods that you worship. These are names which you have forged yourselves and your fathers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down no authority concerning them, no proof, no justification. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nullified that and rendered it futile when He said in Surah Al-Hajj 22:62, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وأنما يدعون من دونه هو الباطل وأن الله هو العلي الكبير. That is because Allah, He is the truth, who has no partners, the only true God, and that there the polytheists invoke beside Him is batil, falsehood, and verily Allah, He is the most high, the most great. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنِّ. إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنِّ. They follow only that which is conjecture. And guess. And this is what they have said, that these are gods. And to Allah belongs the daughters, and to them belongs the sons. They follow but guess, and that which they themselves desire, whereas there has surely come to them the guidance from their Lord. And this avails nothing. Guess. And cannot stand to substitute for the truth. And also they follow their desires. And this is the most harmful thing upon the person, to follow his desires. The one who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of desire, in fact, he is not worshipping Him truly. Rather, he is worshipping his desire and his intellect. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Jathiyah 43:23, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ. And similarly we said, أَفَرَأَيْتَ, do you see the one who took his desire as his ilah, as his God? The one who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with guidance is the one who is on the truth. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمُ الْهُدَى. And they have received guidance from their Lord from the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they should have followed the guidance instead of following the lowly desires. Now, what is the relation of this verse to the title of this chapter? What is the relation of this verse from Surah Al-Najm, these verses, to the title of the chapter? The title of the chapter refers to what? The one who ever seeks the blessings from the tree, from stone, and so forth. The relationship is, the mushriks believe that these idols benefit and harm them, and that's why they used to come to them invoking them, slaughtering for them, seeking means of nearness to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests some in ways where that which he was seeking from warding off a harm or a benefit sought would be given that, would be given that by this shirk as a means of testing and trials and affliction. And we have seen, or we talked about rather, something similar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may test some people by making the means for disobedience easy for them, so that Allah knows those who fear Him in the unseen. And this is similar. We will stop here inshallah ta'ala, and we continue this chapter because there's a lot still to be discussed on this with a lot of benefits. We leave that to the next time. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.